Good morning, and welcome to the Sunday stream at Flat Creek Baptist Church. We are so thankful that you've joined us today. Whether you're watching online or you are joining us on Glory FM 97.5, we are grateful for you being here today, and we look forward to worshiping alongside of you this morning. God bless you, and enjoy the stream.
To listen to what Peter writes, says, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." You might think of the night where they're on the sea in Mark chapter number 4. And the sea becomes tumultuous and Jesus is sleeping on the back of the boat. And they go to him and they say, "Don't you care, Jesus, that we are dying up here?" And Jesus steps up and says, "Oh, you of little faith." And he speaks to the water. And the Bible says that the waters became calm and still. And what is the disciples' response? They fall down at the feet of Jesus and they begin to worship him. Or you might think of that story in the book of Matthew chapter 14. As another storm arises. And once again the disciples are fearing for their life and they look on the horizon and they suppose that they see a ghost. But instead it's the Lord Jesus Christ walking atop the waves. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." And Jesus says, "Peter, just step out of the boat." And Peter steps out of the boat and he begins to walk on the water himself until he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he begins to sink in the waves. And Peter says, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reaches down in the water and pulls Peter up out of the water. I mean, these are all moments, friends, that Peter had witnessed. All these things the man had seen with his eyes. And there were other miracles, the opening of the deaf ear, the opening of the blind eye, the lame leaping, the dead rising up from their graves. He had seen it all. He had heard with his ears the great parables of Jesus. He had heard the parable of the sower and the seed. He had heard the parable of the prodigal son. He had heard the parable of the good Samaritan. He had heard the parable of the wedding banquet. He had heard the parable of the vineyard owner. He had been there with Jesus in Nazareth. When Jesus in his hometown synagogue is asked to read the scroll of Isaiah. And how Jesus rolls out the scroll, reads the messianic prophecies of Isaiah, and then says to the audience, "Today, this prophecy has been fulfilled before your very eyes." He had heard the Lord Jesus declare that the kingdom of heaven has come near. He had heard post-resurrection as Jesus systematically walked the disciples through the law and the prophets, sharing with them all things concerning himself in the scriptures. For Peter, John, James, Andrew, Nathaniel, Thomas, Philip, Simon the Zealot, Matthew the tax collector, Judas the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Jesus was no mere man. Jesus was the God-man. He was the Word became flesh. He was the one who had taken off the robes of glory to put on alien flesh and had walked amongst us. He was the prophesied Son of Man. He was the prophesied Son of the Virgin. He was the prophet greater than Moses. He was the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was the Good Shepherd who calls his sheep by name. He was the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, the Christ and the Savior. And so in just a moment, when we come to the supper table of the Lord, I want us to remember the Lord Jesus Christ as Peter would have remembered him when he wrote those two words, he himself. Let us remember the life. Let us remember the ministry of Jesus Christ. Let us not come to this table in just a few moments in tradition. Let us not treat this table as a means to an end, meaning as soon as we finish that, we get to go home. Let us not think of this as just another element that we have included in our worship service today. But let us remember Him. Let us remember Jesus. He Himself. Remember the Christ. But secondly, this morning, I want you to remember the cross. Remember the cross. What does it say here? He Himself bore our sins. The word for bore in the original Greek language means to lift up. So it literally means that Jesus lifted up our sins. He literally carried our sins in His body on the cross. Now, friends, you've got to go back into the Gospels to understand that the true shift in understanding for the Apostle Peter and for the other 12 disciples. If you remember, there were three times in the Gospels that Jesus said to them, I'm going to Jerusalem. And when I get to Jerusalem, the chief priests, the Pharisees, the scribes, they're going to kill me. But after 3 days, I will rise again from the dead. And on all three occasions, before the cross and before the resurrection, the disciples, they would rebuke Jesus, especially Peter. You remember in Caesarea Philippi, the first time that Jesus said, I'm going to the cross to suffer and die and be resurrected. Peter said, no, Jesus, not on my watch. It'll never, ever happen. See, the idea of a suffering Messiah, the idea of a suffering Christ was something that they had never entertained because of their religious tradition. Remember what the Jews were looking for. The Jews were not looking for a heavenly king. The Jews were looking for an earthly king. They were looking for a revolutionary. They were looking for a king that would overthrow the armies of the world. They were looking for a king that would vanquish the foes of Israel and sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. They were looking for a king that would usher in a period of peace and prosperity inside the nation, the likes that had never been seen before. The concept of a suffering Savior had never entered their minds, although it had been prophesied. So I want you to jump back with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter number 22. Psalm 22, written 1,000 years before Jesus ever stepped foot on this planet. Written 1,000 years before crucifixion was even a means of capital punishment. And yet David writes in Psalm 22, as if he's standing at the very foot of the cross. Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where have you heard that before? You heard it from the cross of Calvary when the Lord Jesus Christ dies for the sins of the world. Psalm 22, 6, I am a worm, not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag their head and say, commit yourself to the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him. Let him rescue him because he delights in him. Where did you hear that? Jesus, you who saved and did all these miracles, save yourself. Why don't you just call down legions of angels to save? Why don't you call on Elijah and have Elijah come to save you? Verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that is melted within me. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you lay me in the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me, A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Prophetically looking forward to the cross. They look. They stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. 1,000 years before Jesus ever walks on this planet, 1,000 years before he ever goes to the cross, and David prophesies as if he's standing there. Go to Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah 53, written 700 years before the Lord Jesus would ever step foot on this planet, written 700 years before crucifixion is even an object of capital punishment. And listen what it says beginning in 52 verse 13. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told to them, they will see, and what they had not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed to? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. The prophecies were right before them. And yet when Jesus says, this is my lot, this is what I've come to accomplish, they rebuke him. But now, 30 years after the life and ministry of Jesus, Peter, who witnessed the life of the man, is now quoting from Isaiah chapter number 53. What does he say? By his wounds, verse 24, we are healed. Peter did not understand it at first, because at first it didn't fit the mold of what his religious teachers had taught him the Messiah would be. But now Peter knows that indeed Jesus is God's only Son, and even more, Jesus is the man of sorrows. He is the one acquainted with grief. He is the one who bore our sin and our shame. He is God's sacrificial lamb. In Christ Jesus, God has provided himself a lamb for sacrifice. Let us just consider for a moment the happenings of the cross. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew 27, they have placed the crown of thorns upon his head. Remember, the thorns were the result of the curse. When Adam falls, what does God say? Cursed is the ground because of you, Adam. It will produce thorns for you, and you will now work it in heavy labor. And now thorns, this emblem of our sin, has been placed upon the head of Jesus and pressed into his brow. The nails have been driven into his hands. He has nailed our sin debt to the cross. He has hung on a tree. Cursed is the man who was hung on a tree. Remember where we fell. We fell at a tree, and now the Lamb of God is nailed to a tree to pay our sin debt. And in Matthew 27, the Bible tells us, beginning in verse Number 45. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. It's the darkest moment in human history. When the sun witnessed its creator being crucified by humanity, and the sun had to hide his head in shame. The sun is darkened. There was a place that only the Son could go with the Father, as He would bear the sins for all humanity. What does it say in verse number 51? The moment that Jesus cries out and yields up His Spirit, the veil was torn. Remember in the Old Testament, the presence of God dwelt beyond the Holy of Holies. And you couldn't just access the presence of God anytime you wanted to. But in Christ Jesus and His finished work, the veil has now been torn. And you and I can step boldly into the throne room of grace. At that moment, verse 51 tells us that there's a great earthquake. Remember just a week before this, on Palm Sunday, the Pharisees had told Jesus, "Tell these people to stop praising you." And Jesus had said on that day, "If they stop praising me, the rocks will cry out." And now all the people who praised him last week have turned their back on him, and they rejoice at the sight of a crucified Savior. And the moment that the whole world turns their back on him, there's an earthquake as the rocks literally cry out for their Creator. And the Bible says in verse number 52, the tombs were opened, the dead were raised at the moment that Jesus died for the sins of the world. And then in verse 54, the centurion himself says, "Surely this is the Son of God," and is saved. All of this happening at the cross of Calvary, this object of shame, this object of punishment. Remember what Paul would write in 1 Corinthians, that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so He may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. Is there anything more foolish than the thought that God saves the world through the cross? Is there anything viewed with more weakness than a crucified man? Is there anything of greater shame than to be pierced and hung on a cross? Anything more despised, and yet God uses the cross to save us from our sins. What does He say? So that no man can boast. If God did it any other way, do you know what we would do? I saved myself. But the fact that God saves us through the cross, friends, we can't boast. We must simply come and bow before a crucified Savior and be saved. And so as we come to the table today in remembrance, let us remember not just the Christ, but let us remember His cross, where the blessed Savior suffered and died for the sins of the world. The cross, an object despised, rejected, and hated by the world, but for those of us who have been saved by it, the power of God unto salvation. But let us remember, number three, our conversion. Let us remember our conversion. What does He say here in chapter 2 and verse number 25? "Speaking of you and me in the church, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." No doubt, the Apostle Peter here is alluding to that parable of Jesus, where Jesus spoke of the shepherd who has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, and how the good shepherd leaves the 99 in order to go after the one. When we think about what the Lord Jesus did for us in order to obtain our salvation, and when we think about the roads that he went down to save us, perhaps that old choir hymnal, the 90 and none, say it best. There were 90 and none that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 90 and none. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this sheep of mine has wandered far from me. And although the road may be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found a sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, 'twas sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. And all through the mountains thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gate of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. When was the last time you stopped for just a moment to remember your own conversion? Remember, it was Peter that prays in Ephesians chapter number 3. He says, I pray that you might be able with all the saints to know the length, the width, the height, and the depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses all understanding. When was the last time you thought about the length that God went to save you? How far is the distance from heaven to earth? What is the length that Jesus had to go to take off the robes of glory and come down to us? When was the last time you stopped to ponder the width of God's love as the Son of God is stretched out on a tree and pierced for you and for me? When was the last time you stopped to ponder the height of God's love and to see the wisdom of God in that this is the way that he would save the world? And when was the last time you thought about the depth of God's love that he would send his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life? Just think of those words in verse 25, speaking of you and me. You were continually straying. It wasn't one sin that he saved you for. It was all of them. You continually strayed. Even after being presented the gospel, you continued to chase after this world. But now, you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. That's grace, brother and sister. To think that those of us who continually strayed, that the good shepherd came after us and found us and rescued us and has now brought us back into the fold. When was the last time you stopped for just a moment to remember your conversion, the day you were saved? What a great day of rejoicing it was in heaven, and I pray still a great day of remembrance and rejoicing for you. So as you come to the Lord's Supper table today, remember your conversion. Remember what Jesus did for you. But lastly, I want you to also today remember the change. Remember the change that was wrought in your life. What does he say? He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin. Those who were continually straying, they stray no more because they have put to death sin in their body. And what does it say? To live for righteousness. Consider the change. Remember the change that Jesus has brought in your life. As Peter reflects on his life at this moment, writing these words, I imagine of how he considers all the lives that he's witnessed being changed. Could he not reference on this day Pentecost? Could he not stand there and say, you want to talk about change? Let me tell you of 3,000 people who realized they had crucified the Lord of glory, but repented and were baptized, and now have been forgiven and sin no more, but worship the one that they crucified. Could he not take us to Acts chapter number 10 in the home of Cornelius, where an entire Gentile family repents of their sins and turns to a righteous and holy God in saving faith and receive the Holy Spirit? Well, of course he could. But I believe that the greatest testimony of all is the testimony of what God has done in our lives. And so as Peter thinks about his own self dying of sin, don't you think for just a moment that Peter went back to that moment of his greatest shame? As we think about the Lord's Supper table, remember that Peter was a man who was gathered in the room with Jesus, and Jesus had told them, I'm going away, and you cannot follow me. But Peter had said, Lord, I will follow you all the way to death. Jesus said, before the rooster crows, Peter, you'll deny me 3 times. And you remember the story of how Peter and Mark chapter number 14, a little servant girl comes to him and says, I know who you are. You're one of his disciples. Peter said, I don't even know the man. A little while later, beside a charcoal fire, the same girl says, I know you're one of them because I saw you with him. And Peter says, I told you I don't know the man. And then a little while later, the entire group of people gathered around that fire, they say, you are a Galilean too, and we know that you walked with the man. And Peter denies him so vehemently that he even begins to curse and swear and say, I never knew the man. And at that moment, the rooster crows, and he is filled with grief and sorrow because he denied his Lord and Savior Jesus. And you think about how Jesus goes to the cross and dies, and how Peter must have been covered in shame and guilt and remorse, because when given the opportunity to stand for Jesus, he failed him. Many days later, we hear the pain and the shame and the guilt and the remorse in Peter's voice in John chapter 21, as Jesus looks at Philip and Nathanael and Thomas and James and John and Andrew, and he says, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to the old way of life. My sin is too great. My shame is too great. My guilt is too great. Jesus can never use me now. I'm just going to go back to the old way of life, go back to what I know. And they go out fishing all night long, and on that night, they catch nothing. And in the morning, they're looking on the shoreline, and the Lord Jesus is standing there, and he shouts to them and says, do you have anything I can eat? Throw your nets on the other side of the boat. Just like Peter's first call, they throw the nets in the water, and they bring up so many fish, 153, that the nets begin to tear. And Peter recognizes that it's the Lord, and he jumps off the boat, and he swims to the shore. When he steps up on the shore, the Lord Jesus Christ seated next to a charcoal fire. The same fire that Peter denied him by, now Jesus sits by a charcoal fire and says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. And Peter, and God says, or Jesus says to Peter, Peter, follow me. And Peter is going to go from that point forward, and he's going to follow Jesus the rest of his life, even to the point of his own crucifixion in Rome. As Peter The one who denied Jesus stands boldly even to death saying, crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as my Lord. You want to talk about change? The man who denied Jesus is the man who in chapter 3 of 1 Peter says, always be prepared to give a defense of the hope that is within you. You think Peter ever denied Jesus again? You think Peter ever went back to the old way of life? Absolutely not. For Peter had been forgiven and Peter had been changed. And he lived this life from that day forward for the glory of God amongst the nations through the spread of the gospel. So remember today the Christ. Remember the cross. Remember your conversion, but remember the change that has taken place in your life because of the Lord Jesus Christ. With head bowed and eyes closed today, we do come to a time where we are going to gather to remember the Lord Jesus Christ through the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And if you're in the pew this morning and you are saved, you can grab one of these Lord's Supper cups that's already been prepackaged for you. And I want to praise God today for the Christ. And I want to praise Him for the cross. And I want to praise Him for our conversion. And I want to praise Him for the change that is wrought in each of our lives. Those who are dead in trespasses and sins now being made alive in Christ Jesus. And if you're here today and you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, remember that the Bible tells us that we can't just come to the Lord's Supper table any way that we want. We can't come flippantly. We can't come in a matter of tradition. We can't come just seeking to get to the end of a service. We must come reverently. We must come worshipfully. We must come prayerfully. We must come with a repentant heart, as we remember what Jesus has done for us. So if you're here today and a believer, before we take of the Lord's Supper, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11 that we are to examine our hearts before we take of this blessed meal. So would you take a moment to examine your heart, believer, and if there's anything inside of you today that needs to be forgiven, if there's anything inside of you today that continues to enslave you, take a moment to repent. But I also want to speak to the unbeliever who's here today, because the truth is there's someone who come in these doors this morning and they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe for some time you've been contemplating a decision to follow Him. Well, the good news for you today is there's a seat reserved for you at the Lord's Supper table. And there's an open invitation for you to come and dine with the Master. All you have to do is believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and confess with your mouth that He is Lord. And Paul says, you shall be saved. This morning you've heard of the Christ, you've heard of the cross, but you've never experienced that conversion. You've never experienced that change. But today, as we come to the Lord's Supper table to remember the body and the blood that was shed and broken for us, you want to give your life to Jesus. If that's you today, would you just pray a simple prayer? Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and today I need to give my life to you. I believe you came, lived a perfect life, and died on Calvary for my sins. And today, Lord Jesus, I ask you to save me. I make you the Lord of my life, and I promise to follow you from this day forward and into eternity. Now, friends, if you just prayed a prayer like that, understand it's not my words that save you. It's the prayer of faith from the heart. But if you're here today and you have prayed that prayer with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just raise your hand? Anybody today that would say they've given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Anyone at all today? For those of you who are believers, I now invite you to take just a moment to open up the top of this prepackaged Lord's Supper cup for yourselves, or excuse me, the bottom, that's where you'll access the bread. If you'll get the bread from the bottom of the cup, and listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. Lord, thank you for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus who came down to this earth and lived a perfect, sinless life. And he went bodily to the cross of Calvary to be pierced for our transgressions and sins. We can never thank you enough for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, the Bible says he took also the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you for the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Peter says in his letter to the church in 1 Peter, the precious blood of Jesus. And thank you, God, for instituting this meal for us, the Lord's Supper, to remember always the high price that was paid for our salvation. And we remember the words of the Apostle Paul, who would write in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 11, "As often as you drink this, proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And that's what we have sought to do today. We have sought to proclaim the Lord's death and to give a remembrance of Jesus, the Christ, the cross, our conversion, and the change. And let us not forget, lastly today, the commission that you have given us. It is not for us to take this remedy for sin and hoard it to ourselves. It is up for us now to take the message of the cross and the message of Jesus into the world and make disciples of all nations. And I thank you for Flat Creek, and I thank you for the work that we do as we seek to extend your gospel and make disciples. And so, Father, as we go from here, may we remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you once again for joining us today at Flat Creek Baptist Church on the Sunday Stream. If you have decided today to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, please call us on our church phone at 770-532-0228. Also, if you would like information about the ministries we have at Flat Creek or how to give to Flat Creek, please visit us at our church website at www.flatcreekchurch.net.
It was on a stormy night as we tried to stay afloat. We saw the strangest sight as we watched another boat. The fishermen inside cried to someone, "We're rocking on the waves." Then we thought we saw a figure with the moonlight shining down. He walked upon the waves, he didn't sink, he didn't drown. And then he stilled the water and he shouted, "It is I, be not afraid."
There were footprints
on the water.
Who's that walking on the sea?
There were footprints
on the water.
It's like the sun.
God, the sun of God to me. Master of the storm, commander of the wind.
We'd seen him on the shores of Galilee. calm and easy as we sailed back to the shore. We wondered if we saw what we thought we'd seen before. But then we all confessed it, the miracle had stopped the raging tide. Those fishermen had prayed and they were saved, and so were we. And then we understood who had calmed that stormy sea. Those footprints on the water, it was Jesus passing by.
There were footprints
on the water,
on the water. Who's that walking on the
walking
sea?
On the sea?
There were footprints
on the water,
on the water.
Like the sun,
God to me, master of the storm, commander of the wind.
We'd seen him on the shores of Galilee.
There were footprints
on the water,
on the water.
Looks like the Son of God to me.
To a saint. The preacher says with passion, children, you won't cry for long. Joy comes in the morning. This is just a stepping stone. Just a stepping stone on the journey home. I know your heart is breaking. Life continues on. Jesus died for just this moment, and with the cross he built a bridge. Remember, this is not the end of the road. This is just a stepping stone. The place where they laid Jesus was now an empty tomb. All they found were grave clothes, and an angel told the news. Don't cry, he has risen, conquered hell and the grave. And death was defeated when he rolled that stone away. Journey home. I know your heart is breaking, but life continues on. Jesus died for just this moment, and with the cross he built a bridge. Remember, this is not the end of the road. Just a stepping stone on the journey. I know your heart is breaking, but life continues on. Jesus Jesus died for just this moment, and with the cross he built a bridge. Remember, this is not the end of the road, it's just a stepping stone.
Just a stepping stone.
This is just a stepping stone.
Just a stepping stone.
This is just a stepping stone.
Just a stepping stone.
And someday we will hear him say, well done. Gather with the church who has gone on. Yes, we will finally know. This was just our stepping stone.
Disciples, I will go prepare a place, a land of many mansions where we'll spend eternal days. Then he ascended to the land he promised to prepare. Well, I am so excited, 'cause I know I'm a going there.
Now you
may want to call it heaven, beautiful country of Canaan,
place
where the saints will be living, land so
fair. Land so fair, sweet.
Precious land of Beulah,
oh,
home of the holy hallelujah. I'm happy now that I can tell you I know I'm a-going there.
I have made my reservation for that city long ago. There at an old-time altar where the Savior saved my soul. If I should die tomorrow or I meet him in the air, I know that I am ready, 'cause I know I'm a-going there.
Now
you may want to call it heaven, beautiful country of Canaan,
place
where the saints will be living, land so
fair. Land so fair, sweet.
Precious land of Beulah,
home
of the holy hallelujah. I'm happy now that I can tell you I know I'm a-going there.
You
may want to call it heaven, beautiful country of Canaan,
place
where the saints will be living, land so
fair.
Sweet, sweet precious land of Beulah,
home
of the holy hallelujah. I'm happy now that I can tell you I know I'm a-going there.
Sacrifice, 'cause Lord, you're you're still faithful time and again. When my heart is burdened, even then, Lord, you're still faithful. And when there's nothing to see, and I just have to believe that you are working behind the scenes, Lord, you're still faithful, still faithful to me.
Glory FM is WGTJ Murrayville Gainesville and W248DL Murrayville Gainesville.